Hey everyone, it's Mike. Before we start the episode, I have a quick question to ask. Do you own a brewery? Do your customers love trivia as much as I do? Well, then you better listen up, because Geeks Who Drink Weekly Trivia Nights are the cornerstone of event programming for over 650 breweries and bars nationwide. Geeks Who Drink Trivia is consistently fun and low-effort way to build a community of regulars, because we all need our norms, cliffs, and all that, but we want to bring more people in as well. So you can even turn that slow weeknight into the busiest night of the week. So get started with this exclusive offer for my Taproom listeners and get your first quiz night free. Go to geekswhodrink.com/taproom and enter promo code taproom. That's geekswhodrink.com/taproom, promo code taproom. And now onto the episode. And we're back. This is episode 61 of the Taproom Podcast, and I am your host, Mike. Got a fun one today. This one, I think this was towards the tail end of me getting better, or actually, I think I might have just started getting sick. I don't know. I think I was starting to get better. But this is my buddy, Greg Mendez. He's a brewer over at Brewery X, so we got to talk to him. And just good to hear his journey, like how he got started. And this one, there may be some background noise, but I'm playing with everything in post. So we'll kind of see how it all works out. But I think it's going to be good. It should be fine. But we had a really fun conversation and, you know, got to have a couple beers. We got to record in the penalty box, which is like a room that you can reserve over at Brewery X, over in Brewery X in Anaheim. If you haven't been, definitely check it out. You have some cool beers. It's a really cool space. Also, they have really good pizza, and that's like my favorite thing there that they have. But they also have like stuff like Spam Musubi. They have buffalo wings. They have burgers. They have a bunch of different stuff. So definitely worth checking out. And I was thinking about what beer I was going to have to review today, but I've kind of had so many. I've had so many from Brewery X that I was trying to rack my brain and think about which one I could have. And then I remembered, I was like, oh man, well, hockey starts, you know, the playoffs starts like next week. So I was like, well, I'm not a Ducks fan, but the Brewery X does have their duck beer. It's the official Anaheim Ducks fan beer. You can actually get it in the Honda Center. And this one's a blonde ale. It's only 5%. So, I mean, it's only about 1 o'clock, 1:30 on a Saturday. So I'm excited to give this one a whirl. I haven't had this in years. So looking forward to try it out. Well, probably maybe not years, but maybe like a year or two. So let's crack her opening. Oh yeah, it's good stuff. Let's get a nice little pour here.
All right.
Nice. Nice and frothy. That's, here we go. Let's jump on in. Water's fine. What's that? It's got a nice head to it. Oh yeah. Man, that is easy going down. If I was at a hockey game and I was going to be buying beer and I wanted something crafty, but I didn't want anything too heavy, and with it being only 5%, I'd probably crush at least 4 or 5 of these during the game. And speaking of, so I'd probably, let's see, what I rate this? It's a blonde ale. It's obviously not my particular style, but I still really enjoy it. So, I mean, I'd give this a solid, you know, 7.5. It's pretty solid. So, I actually kind of want to, I mean, for hockey season, I kind of want to, might have to grab some more of these. So, definitely, if you're in the SoCal area, or say if you're traveling, you're coming out to Disneyland or something like that, there's so many breweries in the Anaheim area, but, you know, Brewery X, Noble, Unsung, Villains, Stereo, and Placentia. I know I'm missing 1,000 of them, so, I mean, I'm sorry, but there's so many out there, and they're all really great. So, definitely check it out. All right, some NHL news since we're on the subject. The Coyotes have, I think they said they have everything in place to move to Salt Lake City. So Arizona losing the Coyotes. I mean, that sucks for the, you know, for Phoenix and stuff like that. But I mean, it's not the biggest hockey town. I mean, when I've been out there and I've seen it, like going out there for when the Avalanche play them, a lot of times like it's more Avs fans. At least it seems that way. There's more Avs fans than there is actually Coyotes fans. And honestly, Salt Lake's a pretty good sports town. I mean, you got the Utah Utes, you got the Jazz, And it's kind of, you know, it kind of fits the bill when it comes to that kind of hockey town. So, I mean, it could all work out. But I am kind of excited to see what the uniforms are going to look like, what the sweaters are going to look like. That'd be pretty awesome. So what else we got? Yeah, the playoffs start next week. As of right now, I think the Avs are a couple of points. I think they're playing Winnipeg today. So hopefully the Avs can win that and then win tomorrow. But their last three games are against playoff teams. So we got the standings with the conference here. Yeah, the Avs are playing Winnipeg tonight, tied with 104 points. It looks like Dallas, I want to say it's like Dallas and, oh, it looks like, yeah, the Rangers more than likely are probably going to end up winning the President's Trophy. We all kind of know what's happened to the last few years of people winning the President's Trophy. It's not been good, or it hasn't been good. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, though. I mean, I'm excited for this Avs team. I think they can go a long way. I know there's a lot of people talking about the maybe some controversy in the net between Eustace Annanen and Alexander Georgiev. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, sometimes you got to ride the hot hand, but I know Georgie's kind of like the guy right now, well, at least for in Jared Bednar's eyes. I feel like Dallas is going to be a team that could be, you know, a force to be reckoned with. The Hurricanes, I don't know. I don't know if they have, they definitely have, like, you know, on paper, one of the top teams in the NHL, easily. Like, I think they're the second best team in the NHL right now, record-wise. But Dallas has got some stuff. I think Boston, after losing last year, you know, with Boston, winning the President's Trophy and, like, doing what they did in the regular season last year, I feel like they have something that they can, you know, something that they want to prove after that exit last year. So they can definitely do something. Florida's good. The Canucks are good. I mean, this is, honestly, it's been a really good year for hockey. It's been super fun. I'm excited to see it. So, I mean, say if the Avs ended up with the second seed, they'd end up playing, as of right now, would probably be the Kings, I think, which I wouldn't mind. No, some of my family's Kings fans, so it might be a little fun. But yeah, what else we got this week? Oh, Ohtani was the victim of fraud. Still don't, I mean, I don't know. It's all allegations, but I mean, no, at least now, like, Ipe is getting, he's busted now, I guess. Just seems kind of crazy how the stories kept changing. But I mean, is what it is. $16 million is a lot of money to not notice. But yeah, I mean, innocent till proven guilty. So he's clearly innocent, we'll say innocent, finger quotes. What else we got this week? Spencer Strider, one of the Braves, you know, best young pitchers, got hurt. Had to have surgery, UCL surgery on his elbow. So he is out for the year. So fantastic. Gotta fucking hate injuries, man. But, you know, that's a part of the game. It happens every year. So all you can do is keep soldiering forward and keep trying to win. And we'll see if Alex Anthopoulos makes any moves. But yeah, I mean, it's been a fun start to baseball. Been wanting to make my picks on the show lately, but it's just been, I don't know, I've been so busy. I've been cutting intros a little shorter. But for sure, I think next week I will be doing that. What else we got? The Masters. The Masters is this weekend. I was watching a little earlier, but I posted a little reel if you guys want to go give that some love. I think Scottie Scheffler was in the lead at that point. He was 7-under. Max Homa was in there at 6-under. Good for Max. DeChambeau was, I think, in fourth, like 5-under. And Morikawa was, I think, in tied for second at 6-under. So it's going to be, tomorrow's going to be fun. I love watching the Masters on Sunday. That should be, you know, the whole green jacket thing, the music, the whole package. It's just awesome. So it'll be really fun. Really fun to see that. What do I got coming up? Tomorrow morning, I will be recording at Campsite. The other day, or Wednesday, I just recorded with Geeks Who Drink. The partnership we have going was really fun. So that was a fun one, getting to talk to Brian Carr from Geeks Who Drink. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, I'm really got a lot of stuff going coming up. Also, let's see, I'm supposed to record with Monique from Momentum Cider. Never had anyone with cider on, that does cider on before. So I'm excited to hear how that, you know, that whole process. I think that's going to be a really fun episode. And then on the 24th, that episode, when I record that one on the 24th, is going to be strictly for me. I mean, it's going to be a little bit about craft beer, but it is going to be an episode for me because I'm talking, and the reason why I'm saying it's for me is because I'm going to be talking to one of the person I went on from YouTube that has one of my like favorite channels that I watch all the time. He does Eat Local. He does the Number 6 with Cheese, and he does the Hey Sean Ely. So, I mean, I'm going to talk to Sean Elliott on the 24th. I'm super stoked about it. He's a big craft beer guy. He also knows Kate Bernat. They used to work together in Chicago. And if you don't remember the Kate episode, I was back, I believe it was episode 33. But yeah, I'm super stoked about that. And when I get, you know, just kind of shoot the shit, talk about, you know, the Chicago, the craft beer scene out there. And one of the reasons why I love his channel so much, I mean, it is about food. I mean, who doesn't love, you know, watching food channels? But when he does it, he always like pairs like a craft beer with it. Like the other day, he had one from Wisconsin. So we may have to do beer trade. We'll talk about it that day. But I'm excited about that one. And then on the 28th, I'll be recording with Tommy over at Asylum. So we got some good stuff coming up. I believe next week's episode is, let's see here. I don't know. I'll get that at the end. I'll tell you at the end of the episode. But all right, I think I've taken enough time. It is time to jump into the interview with Greg Mendez. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. He's Hoppy Chulo on Instagram. He's just a really good dude and, you know, become a really great friend of mine. I met him through my brother Jizzy or Jake. So, all right, hope you guys enjoy the interview. Talk soon. Oh, why did I say talk soon for? What an idiot. Stay tuned for the outro. All right, guys, we're back in the tap room. I actually am over here at Brewery X, and I have a very special guest on today, my buddy Greg Mendez. We've known each other for how long?
Say probably a couple of years.
Yeah, somewhere around there. You know, getting shitty in the tap room of Brewery.
I've only been here like 2.5, so Jake come on right after.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, brother. Yeah, so I mean, the first thing I always love to ask anybody I have on the show is like, how did you get started? Like, what was your, like, you know, your journey in craft beer?
I think this year makes 9 years. I actually had kind of got my start in South Mississippi. That's okay. Where I'm from, just outside of New Orleans. So I guess, wait, let me start the podcast and give you like a classic New Orleans greeting.
There you go. Yeah, do it.
What's happening with you, Beeb?
Nice.
Yeah. So started South Mississippi. I was a shipbuilder before I got into beer. I probably unofficially industry probably like 12 years ago, where I would help out with, you know, festivals and go work things and
yeah,
kind of just show up and volunteer. But yeah, I made the jump professionally in 2015.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Now, so you started in 2015, and that was what were you working at then?
So it was a little place that's closed now. It's called Crooked Letter Brewing Company in Ocean Springs,
yeah,
Mississippi. I worked there for, I don't know, not very long. And kind of made the jump from there to another place that's pretty prevalent now. It's Chandelier Island Brewing Company.
Okay.
I started in their cellar, became their head cellarman, and got linked up with a guy who I've worked with a couple other times, and we're really good friends, Dave Reese, just made Master Cicerone.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he's a great friend, great mentor. Shout out. Yeah, so I worked there for close to a year. I worked in the tap room and then got pulled into the cellar and then just kind of worked my way up and was about to get onto the deck. And it was another brewery that had kind of sniped me from there.
Okay.
Yeah, they'd come and visited and saw the cellar, saw how clean it was, and they were like, would you want a job? And you got to understand, like, the industry in Mississippi itself is so small. I think even right now there might be less than 15 breweries, like production facilities. I'm sure there's with brew pubs and contracts, it's probably more. But
yeah,
I mean, I remember when it was like two.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember when it was one. It was only one at the Beau Rivage Casino. They had a little brew pub inside. And then it was Lazy Magnolia for a long time. They were the only ones. But yeah, so it's really small. And so to find the talent pool or to try to like hire somebody that's going to be kind of interested in kind of, you'd have to start from the ground up. So somebody that's already established, it's just kind of the name of the game there if you're really wanting to like keep a career in that. So they hired me on to train on the deck. And yeah, within a few months, I was brewing my own beers or brewing solo beers.
That's awesome. And
yeah, I stayed there for 4 years. Left to help a friend open up a brewery. I didn't really help him open up, but I helped him. I worked on the brewery.
Okay.
So like we like repitched the floors. So I moved out all the equipment, reran glycol, rewired everything back in. We did a bunch of construction. That's my background is in construction.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, helped him work on that place and to open it up. And they're killing it now. Fly Llama Brewing Company.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. In Biloxi, Mississippi.
Nice.
Yeah. So once I kind of owned that, I applied out to a couple places, and the brewery in Placentia actually hit me back.
Okay.
And yeah, it was one night. It was I left a hurricane party. So in South Mississippi or anywhere in the Gulf, when they have like hurricanes,
yeah,
power goes out. So what you do is you kind of grab up your freezer goods,
yeah,
and your liquor if you're like going to be without power for a day or two, and you basically just go and drink and cook the rest of your food, so it's not going to go to waste.
Yeah, well, of course.
I'm at my friend Corey's house and we're drinking, and I'm tired, so I'm just going back to the house. I like walked a block, and I started applying online to a bunch of different places, and one of them was the brewery, and I don't have any formal training. And so a lot of places that would like the brewery would require it.
Yeah.
And I saw that it said preferred, but not required. And I was like, shit.
There it is.
So I sent that resume in, and then they called me.
Oh,
and,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I ended up doing a video chat with them and got the job. They gave me like a month and a half to get my shit in order. And I moved out here December of 2020.
Yeah.
And yeah, worked there for a year and then saw that they were hiring here for an overnight brewer.
Okay.
And I applied.
Yeah.
And got the job. And that was 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, what made you like want to move out west?
The challenge, I mean, it wasn't necessarily, there wasn't a goal for the west, but
yeah,
definitely wanted to be somewhere where the industry was way more established.
Okay.
I wanted to challenge myself to see how I could stack up.
Yeah. Of course.
If I could cut it. You know, I guess that's like everybody's like primordial question. Where do you fit in, or can you stack up against others, whatever?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's probably going to be Asheville, North Carolina, Denver or Fort Collins, Colorado, and then like San Diego. And I had applied a few places, and the brewery hit me back. So I was like, yeah. And it just so happened probably a month before I had applied, I had kind of lost all my belongings in a fire.
So
although it sucked, it was kind of like perfect storm. I was like, well,
you didn't have to pack anything.
I didn't really have to pack shit. I threw some clothes and my cat in my Santa Fe.
There you go.
And drove across the country.
Dang, man. That's so cool, because I mean, sometimes some people are afraid of like taking that like leap of faith or like even like just challenging themselves. And I feel like that's like half the battle. Like, some people are just so scared of what life's going to throw at them, or they're so afraid of failing that they're just like, you know, I look at you like you had literally nothing but your car and your cat, and you drove, I mean, obviously like clothes and stuff, but
yeah,
drove across the country.
Yeah. I've kind of, I don't know, changed directions a few times in life.
Yeah.
You know, former life, I was a firefighter. I used to do a rodeo thing for a few years, construction. I built boats for the Navy.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, I've always had this like season of kind of moving along and doing something.
Yeah.
And never really kind of found something that was like my niche. I was really good at it. I was, you know, first rate marine carpenter, residential carpenter. I was building houses during the summer and making six figures working for the Navy.
Wow.
Excuse me, building boats for the Navy. And I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it. And, you know, I have three kids and a grandbaby now. And I just kind of thought, what lesson am I teaching my kids if I'm like telling them to like chase your dreams?
Yeah.
Work hard, do what, you know, what makes you happy, if I wasn't doing that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. When that job offer or the job application kind of came across, I had noticed it, but I really didn't think about it. And one day at the shipyard, somebody had passed away and they didn't shut down at all. It was like,
yeah.
Where are they at? Okay, yep. Okay, we'll call. And then it was just like never checked
up. Just another cog in the wheel.
I said, yeah. I'm not going to die out here. They don't really care. So I was like, I think I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
And because that was all I was doing anyway on my off time, was like helping brew, home brewing, festivals. My family was real involved. We would go and do all this kind of stuff. So I was like, I think I want to do this.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first like homebrew recipe?
Yeah. I think I did a honey kolsch.
Okay.
I think I did honey kolsch, and I served it at a homebrew festival just to have a free ticket to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I named it Honey I Shrunk the Kolsch.
Oh, that's awesome.
and served it at a festival, and I thought I was hot shit.
Yeah.
And I wish I could like go back now and like taste that beer and be like, this is trash. Sir, you need to.
Yeah.
Don't quit your job.
Yeah. Don't leave this six-figure, you know, job. But isn't it crazy though? Like some people, like when I talk to them, they're like, man, like they're like, I had this like really great job, like, you know, doing all this one thing, but then, you know, it's like their passion was craft beer. And like, you know, they decided to take that shot.
Yeah. I mean, I think about the people that, what's that Thoreau quote? Most men live lives of quiet desperation.
Yeah.
And it's like, how many guys have ever lived and like wanted to do something different? Or just guys, but girls too.
Yeah.
And you just like, if you think the price of success is high, wait till you get the bill for regret.
Oh, yeah.
And I never wanted to look back and be like, fuck, I should have done that.
Yeah.
So
it's a great line.
I could have failed, but I failed before.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is what it is. But luckily, I burned the boats when I came out here, so I didn't have a choice. It was all good.
Yeah, one thing I always like to say on my other show is like the mantra, the whole mantra of that show is just because you've been doing something your whole life doesn't mean you have to do it the rest of your life.
Man, that's so true.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. And like, you know, just you have to, like, no one wants to attack life with like zeal and like vigor and like, you know. Sometimes you have to, like, if you're not like trying to make yourself better, then what are you doing?
Yeah. Where did we lose that? I always felt like when I was growing up, if I ever saw someone like that did have that zeal.
Yeah.
It, like they stuck out so much and it was like, they've got something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but there is something there. And I just always gravitated towards that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what, I mean, like, I wish more people did, because, you know, we'd probably be a lot better off and more people would be more happy. Cause I always say it's easy to be an asshole, but it's, you know, why can't you just, you know, just do a little good in the world, you know, or do something that makes you happy and you'll be happy in life instead of being angry and miserable.
Cost zero money to be kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish sometimes like people that are like just hate filled. I'm like, yeah. Have you ever experienced a hug?
Yeah. Did anybody ever love you?
Yeah. So I try to do that with the beer. I try to like make something where like, you know, I don't understand. People have shitty days. Like, this is the hug for me.
Oh, for sure. It's like one thing I was like to ask everybody too is like, do you remember the first craft beer you ever had where it was just like, wait, this is what beer can be?
Yeah, I know exactly where I know the date and everything. Yeah. November 7th, 2007, November 12th, 2007.
That's
awesome. I was at a rugby tournament in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, shit.
And yeah. Broke a tooth, but went out afterwards bar hopping. And
okay,
there's a couple streets in Mobile. One of them, Dolphin Street, and we just kind of went bar hopping.
Yeah,
and we'd go in. And what's the house beer? What, like a dollar PBR, whatever, $2 PBRs, High Lifes. And I went in this one place, and the girl said, "Yingling's our house beer."
Okay,
and I'd never heard of it, and I was just like, "Okay, cool, I'll take it." She brings it to me.
Yeah.
And I just was blown away.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, I remember thinking, like, Yingling.
What the fuck's a Yingling?
I was like, dude. I was like, man, damn, the Chinese really know how to brew a beer.
Yeah.
And she starts laughing and she's like, no, it's like the oldest American brewery, still family owned, one of like four or five breweries that were opened during Prohibition.
Yeah.
And I was just shocked. And I was like, wait a minute. And it just kind of took the blinders off of like from Miller and Budweiser. And not to like shit on that, but it was the only thing that was kind of available, especially in Mississippi where there wasn't a lot of beers. So I just was like, okay, now I want to try all the beers. So I want to go around wherever I'm at, like what's local, what's new, what do you have that's different? And just started this like journey down, like figuring out what do I even like? I don't even know what's good.
Oh yeah. Like what is your palate? Cause I mean like the first time, why we say it on the show, the first one I ever had was a Double Bastard. And my palate wasn't ready for that.
So that was the first time it took the blinders off. But I do remember probably a year earlier, went to visit my folks in Kansas City.
Yeah.
No, excuse me. Right after this, I remember that was the Yingling was my first. I remember my first IPA.
Okay.
It's probably in the next year after that. I apologize. We went to visit my folks in Kansas City, and it was like for Christmas, and they were like going to the store. They were like, just bring back something I've never had. And they brought back a Ranger IPA. And okay. I just remember Ranger, and I didn't know what it was. And I was like, interesting. It's got a weird smell. Okay, cool. And I remember like drinking it, and I thought immediately, like, this is like a bag of grass clippings.
Yeah.
It was, I just couldn't choke it down and thought, man, IPAs are the worst. And yeah. like, kind of like for a few months. And then I had a friend that was like, hey man, you got to really try these beers. They're so different. They're all kind of ale ales, IPAs, double IPAs. Hazy was just maybe kind of like breaking out a little bit. So yeah, it's kind of like opened my, I was like, oh wait, this is so different. And then I've even like reverted back and gone back and had Ranger, and it's a fucking fantastic beer. Obviously I know it's changed over the years, but
yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah. My favorite one, like the beer that made me think like, oh man, this is what craft beer could be, was Midas Touch by Dogfish Head.
Dogfish.
Yeah. And I remember it was at Escondido at the Stone World Bistro. And I was like, what the fuck? I called Jake right after.
Shout out Jizzy.
Yeah, shout out to Jizzy. And I called him right after. I was like, I just had the greatest beer I've ever had in my life. And after that, it was just like, you know, I kind of veered off the craft beer thing for like, I was on it for a couple of years and veered off, and then I've come back.
So. Yeah. So it's okay to come back.
Oh yeah. Because I mean, there's so much great stuff out there. I mean, back then it was like 2007, 2008 when I was turning 21, and like, it wasn't easily accessible like to go to like a liquor store and find craft beer, or to even just drive to a brewery. You'd have to drive down to Escondido or San Diego to go to Carl Strauss.
Yeah, now you can go to any liquor store and find plenty of out-of-date beer.
Yeah, out of code.
No, it's pretty cool because it's like it's like really different out here as opposed to back home. There's very few places that you can get, you know, good craft beer. And they work on the three-tier system, so there's only like two majors, Bud House and Miller House, that control the whole state. And so it's kind of like some weird, shady tactics on how, like, who's getting put in whatever.
Or even in, like, in the stadiums and stuff, like, you know.
For a long time that was illegal, but yeah. Now they're starting to kind of push stuff. And rightfully so. I mean, I think it's a market that, I mean, I get why they probably were apprehensive.
Yeah.
But as long as you have security, as long as you kind of like whatever, you go to any like professional place and they have beer.
Yeah.
So, and now that they're getting paid, so why not?
Yeah.
So it was kind of hit and miss on trying to find places to get good beer.
Yeah.
And so I always remember like, oh, somebody would bring like a Pliny, or somebody would bring like something, a Heady Topper or something, Treehouse. And when you're this is all new to me.
Yeah.
You'll drink a shitty beer and be like, this is the best thing I've ever had, because you don't know any better. So it's like, as time goes on, your palate kind of becomes more refined, but also you like learn about old hops or like new,
like the noble hops and all that.
Yeah. Old world, new world, but also like old hops as far as like when you can it. It's like, hey man, we can this, like, this is a year old IPA.
Yeah.
This thing tastes like barley wine. Like, no, don't.
Yeah.
So it's really a hit and miss to get like good fresh craft beer that's not local in Mississippi. I know for a long time people call it, they may still call it, but it for a long time it was known as like the craft beer cemetery.
Yeah,
there's really great breweries there. There's really great brewers there, like Fly Llama, SoPro, Fertile Ground in Jackson, shout out to Aaron. Yeah, there is good beer there. It's just not, the culture is not really kind of set up for it. You have to kind of have more of a city, and there's not, most of the state is fucking rural. So if anything, it's hard to justify to the layman.
Yeah.
Hey, this is going to be a $10 six pack.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Give me a $10 six pack when I get a 30 rack for like 12 bucks or 15 bucks.
They're like, I got a 10 round clip that'll fucking back. Yeah, no, get the fuck out of here. Damn Yankee.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like, it's crazy how far like craft beers come. And speaking of which, like, we're drinking a couple beers here. You're drinking the
Creeping Death.
Yep.
It's our black IPA.
Yeah. And I'm drinking the Neon Lagoon. It's one of my favorites. It's the West Coast. It was a collab.
That was our collab Virgin.
With Virgin. Been down there a couple times. I like going down there. But yeah, this is the collab.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's great.
Really great beer. I'd say this one's what, 7? Is it 7 even?
I'm dyslexic. Okay. I don't want, there's no way.
It's all good.
It's not a one and done beer for sure. That's
Oh no, it's definitely, again, it's like really, it's not like overly like heavy. I mean, being a West Coast, like I love, like, those are my favorite styles. West Coast Pilsners, Lagers.
when you like for this one, it's really easy drinking, but there are like some like complex like kind of notes in there too.
Yeah, it's what I love about like brewing, because you know there's so many things. You know, somebody might drink that beer and it's like, yeah, it tastes bitter.
Yeah,
and it's like that's like one sided, but like if you had like a panel of different beers are same style, you might kind of see the complexity that's going on. So you know the malt backbone or the hop profile. Even like subtleties, just like the carbonation level on it.
Oh yeah, because it's not overly carb or anything like that.
You can get a lot. You can get a lot more bite the more CO2 you use as opposed to not. It's not like a softer feel. There's a little bit bitterness, so you kind of do want a little bit of that.
Yeah, it's got a good mouthfeel though.
Yeah, it's really good. It's that's a great beer. That's a bangarang for sure.
Yeah, damn right. Speaking of the beers here, what are some of your favorites? It's been 2.5 years. What are some of the favorite ones that you brewed here since you've been?
So I've done a couple beers. I've done a hibiscus wit.
Ooh, okay.
I might do that one again. But yeah, we've done. I did one other one. I cannot remember. Sorry, it's been a rough day.
It's all good.
So I've done the one I really like. Obviously, our Slap and Tickle. That's a fun beer to brew.
Oh yeah.
Something I didn't brew until I got here was seltzers.
Yeah.
I used to kind of say, you know, they don't have a soul. Yeah. Maybe not. They're probably like the AI of the beer world. But yeah. I mean, they're fun. They're quick. They're easy.
Oh,
and they definitely put, you know, asses in the seats.
Oh, for sure.
So I get it. But if I'm like, what do I like to brew?
Yeah.
Kind of wild styles. Yeah. Not necessarily wild in the sense of like sour, but like just kind of offhand. You know, kind of like some hype shit.
Oh, yeah.
We do, we've done... Can't remember the name of the beer.
It's all right.
It's one of the, like the biggest things. Like people always ask me when they talk about, what is in this or how much is it? I'm like, yeah. Bro, like I can be blindfolded on the deck and brew it, but it's like if you like want me to recite, I can't. There's no way my brain can like.
Yeah, I get it.
Write all that down. I don't have that photographic memory. What are a couple other beers that we do quite often that I really like? So we'll do the once a year. We'll do the Polar Espresso. I like that beer a lot.
Oh, that's a phenomenal beer.
Yeah. Jolly Mon. We've done that a few times. Or Island Boy. Really love that beer.
Yeah.
We've done a couple hazies over the years. Is that beer? Phil's.
Philly.
Shout out to Philly Boy. Yeah. What was the Panda? Panda or something like that?
I think it was Trash Panda, yeah.
Man, that beer was fucking phenomenal. Yeah. And having come from a place that's kind of like out in Mississippi, kind of a Haze Boy special.
Yeah.
It was very reminiscent of a lot of those like opaque hazies that I love. So it was great.
What kind of hops do you like to work with like the most? Like if you were going to brew like any style of beer you wanted, what hop like would be like the signature hop?
Just pick the style. It just depends on what the style is. I'm not like going to go one hop. Can't like kind of intercede on all styles. But like if I'm going hazy, I mean, everybody wants to go. It used to be in the beginning, it was like the cookie cutter, Mosaic, Citra.
Yeah. But
man, these new world hops are killing it. I'm also like reading a lot about dip hopping.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a process where you're adding hops in almost like a tea from the hot liquor.
Oh, like the hop keef and all that stuff?
Kind of, but no, you're just adding pellets. So you'd be, or whole hop or whole cone if you wanted to. But no, it's pellets and like HLT water into the fermenter.
Yeah.
And then you're like brewing like an imperial version and then knocking out to it and you're diluting into the tank.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a cooler whirlpool. So instead of like, a lot of the hazies, they'll do like a hop cool or a cool down or a hop stand.
Almost like the, like when you go like homebrew, when you have that, like the chiller or something like
that. So they'll cool it down before they add the hops. They want to make sure it gets something under 180 degrees. So these oils aren't cooked off or whatever and start to get that vegetal flavor, anything. So it's more like juicy, fruity. Yeah. So, and then this is kind of like even more where it's, once you're knocking it out, it's cold into the fermenter. And so it's like immediately. And what that's also done, like opened the door for other hops that were thought to be like very bitter and like for certain styles. Now they're starting to do like noble hops for these hazy IPAs. And it's just kind of like rewriting the story on some of these hops. So it's kind of cool to see what some breweries are kind of coming up with.
Yeah, and it's cool that like even like just seeing like the black IPA on your guys' menu because you're seeing it more often now.
Yeah. This is like a kind of reemergence. It was really hot probably like 4 years ago.
Yeah. And then it just kind of like, well, hit the haze craze happened and you had to have like 10 hazies on your menu.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong. I love a good hazy. But like, I just feel like there was so much out there. Everybody felt like they had to have a ton. But like the black IPAs, the reds, they're coming back.
Yeah. I feel like these black IPAs are kind of like where you can like, you know, fill in two blanks with the same, you know, whatever. It's like peanut butter and jelly French toast.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you want that hoppy, you want that little bit malty, but you also like want like that like dark.
No doubt.
It's perfect.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. Should we grab another couple of beers?
Sure.
Before we jump into the next thing? All right. And we will be back. All right. So we got our beer. I'm drinking the Creeping Death this time. We switched it up. 6.66%. There we go. What are you drinking, brother?
I'm drinking the Spill Me and Die. It's our collaboration with the homies up at June Lake.
Yep.
Shout out to those guys. Those guys are fucking party animals.
And shout out to Jizzy. Jizzy did the can artwork for that one. I can't do it right now. My throat's all fucked up. One thing I always love to ask somebody too is what do you love most about the industry?
Yeah, that's a tough question because I feel like some days you're just like, man, why? But
yeah,
then you visit other tap rooms. Yeah. You like see, it's kind of like, it's a double-edged sword because there is inclusivity, but there's not.
Yeah.
So like when you go to certain places, 90% of the people you meet are really going to be really good and really like, hey, like,
oh, for sure.
Your family, like, da da da, take care of you. But then you also have some people, but you have it everywhere, though. So I'm not like singling us out, but yeah, just going to like events, going and seeing, or take a lap in the, you know, whatever, in the tap room. You know, I've had rough days before where it's like, fuck this day. I'm ready to get off work and like go home and just take a breath. And then I'll make a loop through the tap room. And I just see people that are just having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
And drinking the beers that we made. And for me, that's the payment. That's like, I my thing about beer that I love is that kind of what I said earlier, it's like, we're not creating the story, but we're kind of like seasoning the story.
Oh, for sure.
And we're not making memories, but we're the background. We're like the music in the background, or we're like the beer that's like, it's part of the story. So I like that. I like that part. Oh, that's, I like that people enjoy the beers. I like that.
Yeah,
and somebody that's never had our beer before, never had a craft beer before, and they're like,
you know, that's what I said. It's like them finding their gateway drug into craft beer.
Yeah, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah, I was talking to John. Oh, not John. Sorry, Josh from Hamilton. The other day, we were talking about how like the first day he opened, he was like the night before he like couldn't sleep. He was like, "But what if?" Because he never thought. His mind was always like, it's going to work out. It's going to be like, and he's a positive dude. But he was telling me like the night before, his wife told him, he's like, what if nobody shows up? And then, you know, the four brewers show, like, you know, John from the four brewers showed up, all these other people. And after like an hour, they're like, he went to go pour one of their brown ales. I think it was called Brethren. And it was like foam. He was like, what's going on? And they tapped it after the first hour.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and you get to like how exciting is that? Like, even like Nick from Humble Sea, like telling me like what he enjoyed the most, and like when it really became real for him, was seeing somebody like take a drink of his beer and be like, and like look at it, be like, holy shit, like realizing like, holy crap, like this is like, that was, you know, payment enough, you know?
Yeah, I think it's like a more an amplified version of, you know, a lot of brewers, you know, home brewers especially, you know. It's like you get into it and you're like all gung ho and you really want to kind of make a beer, and then you finally make it and it's like the best beer you've ever had.
Yeah.
It's probably shitty. Don't really know. Don't really care. And it just becomes like a kind of a thing. So it's like in the beginning, you've had this beer. It's the best thing ever. And that feeling that you have is probably the same way, like getting into the industry and kind of like for the first time, it's like your first time on the deck and that first beer, it's like, oh, it's awesome. Or, you know, then you've opened up a place and you've, oh, it's awesome. It's it reminds me of that Charlie Papazian thing where it's like, relax, don't worry, have a homebrew. Like all the instances that I've ever thought about, like, oh shit, I fucked something up.
Yeah.
Sure, there probably was something wrong, but never where it was like, You fucking blew it.
You son of a bitch.
Look what you did. You broke it, you little jerk.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, yeah, because it's and really it reverberates for people that are like that it means something.
Yeah.
And you want that in an employee, first of all. But
of course.
Two, it's when it happens multiple times where it becomes an issue. But yeah, I could imagine. I haven't opened my own place yet. But I can imagine just the weight and the pressure that's like all on top, and you're like, oh shit. Yeah. And you might do a good job of like keeping it out of like your line of sight, but like at some point before those doors open on the first day, it's gonna be like, fuck.
Yeah. What's gonna happen tomorrow?
And
yeah.
then it opens up, and you either, I mean, it's shit or get off the pot. You know? It's you can't really like, oh, I hope it does well. It's like, well, no, like most of that is you doing well.
Oh,
like if you do the work and you're out there, you should. Obviously, I understand there's circumstances where, like, obviously with COVID and shit that's happened in the past, that you might have a bad location, whatever it is.
Yeah. But
more often than not, the cream rises to the top. So,
to quote the Macho Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But isn't it crazy? Because there's like so much that does go into it too. I mean, because it is the beer. But one thing I will say, like, yeah, you have to have marketing. You have to have the right can artwork. Because, I mean, can artwork, you have to be able to, like, you know, find something, you know, distinctly unique about your can. Because you walk into a craft beer liquor store and there's, you know, you have 300 freaking cans to choose from.
It's all about real estate, man. Yeah. It's all about real estate. What pops out? What sticks out? So it's like, if you got good liquid.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have good marketing.
Yeah.
Man, if you don't make it, it is what it is. Like, yeah. you gotta get with the times.
Yeah.
You gotta try to see what's out there. Gotta try to, like, not copy. I don't like that, but do something different.
Yeah.
Do something that's gonna
stand out.
As you walk by those 300 cans, like, what's popping?
Oh, yeah.
They're not like cracking those open on the shelf and being like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll take this home. It's like, yeah. No, they're taking a chance. Yeah, so you have to take a chance. And put your can art, find somebody that's doing really well.
Yeah.
If
you need a guy, his name is Jizzy. At Jizzy Jake Riley or at Wild Riley Studio. Yeah.
So, yeah, you just, but that's the name of it. You know, if you could have really good marketing and terrible liquid, and you're going to be successful for a little while, you can have great liquid and terrible marketing, and you're going to do the same too. But it's just not, you got to grow with the market. You got to grow with the times.
Yeah, you definitely have to, because like I said, like there's so many options out there. It's not like it used to be.
Yeah.
Or even like Stone, where their thing was like fizzy yellow beers for wussies. They had to do that back then to kind of, do their thing. But I mean, like that's one thing I love about pilsners and lagers. You can't hide behind anything. And you have to, and if you do it right, it's fucking great.
Yeah, I remember one of my really good friends, Mike Anders. He is a marine biologist for Southern Mississippi, a professor there. Shout out to Mike. He told me when I was homebrewing, because when I first got in the industry, and I'm sure this is probably like, similar for a lot of folks. It was like, man, the more the better. So I was like, barley wines and fucking double IPAs and like all as much alcohol. And I'm like, oh, I want to just brew the biggest, baddest beer. And he just said one time, we were at this like a homebrew day or whatever. He didn't try to take over the conversation. He just kind of sat back in his chair and he's like, man, sign of a good brewer is somebody that can brew a session beer and repeat it pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have less to hide behind. If you fuck up, you fucked up.
Yeah, because you can't just throw fruit in it and to make it, better.
It was the cornerstone moment in my, at least, thought process career where I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I want to be the best I can be. Sure, I can throw a bunch of more sugar and I can throw whatever to it, and it's always going to be. But if I can do it well and do it this kind of level, this is what I want to do. And it was immediately like, oh, nope, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And sidestep. So I will forever like thank him for that. But yeah, I just remember like beer festivals, like, oh, I'm looking for all the barley wines. I'm looking for everything. And ever since then, trash beer as it is.
That's what I love about the brewer's mentality, though, like that it's never good enough.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I love that.
I mean, anybody that like cares about it can't be. If you ever feel like you've made it, but that's when, if anything, any kind of like any art that you've ever done. I'm not saying like an artist, but it's, you know, any
you are
martial art or whatever. Like if you feel like I've made it, I've done enough. And I have talked to brewers like that before. They're like, oh man, I won a couple awards in the '90s and
yeah, they get complacent.
I'm like, that's Reader's Digest award, yeah. Whatever does not count as like, you're not going out there constantly, like testing yourself against other people or other like, man, I want to go up against the best in the world.
Yeah.
And then I want to know, that's what I know. I'm like, oh man, you eat shit.
Yeah.
But okay,
you're
cool.
Going to strive to keep like to keep going until you win that competition.
Yeah, I'm not going to fucking, well, I don't know, fucking Nairobi to enter in some homebrew competition and like get a first place medal. It's like, I want to go somewhere where everyone's going.
Yeah, you want to go to the best of the best.
And if I'm not doing well, then I can do better.
What I always like to say is get busy living or get busy dying. Shawshank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm with it. Same thing. My grandfather. Shit or get off the pot.
Yeah.
I just don't like, how am I going to grow if I'm, you know, how am I going to get better if I'm only going against for nothing? Like I'm not, you can't be the hero in your own story. Like you got to be like, who's better than me? There's got to be somebody always better than you.
Yeah.
You just strive to like continue. Cause it's like the only way you keep yourself in check.
Yeah.
If you start getting complacent.
Yeah,
and my grandmother used to say the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And so if you start like,
so kudos to your fucking grandma. I know, right? That's a fucking great line.
That's bars. But it's the same thing where it's like if you start getting complacent, then you start to like lack in other areas of your life.
Oh, yeah.
And everything will follow suit. I want to wake up in the morning and be like, fuck, I'm not the best brewer out there. I'm probably the worst. And like, how can I make it better today?
Yeah.
You know, what's that guy? Fuck, I can't remember his name. He wrote that 10% better. Anyway.
Yeah.
So you just want to be 10%, but how can I do better today?
Yeah.
And even if it's a small thing, it's like, oh man, I made it on work on time. Sure. But could I got there a couple minutes early? Could I have set up for something else?
Yeah.
Any situation, can I do better? It's not just like the finished product.
Yeah.
It's so many microcosms of things that to the finished product that like, man, if I like work on all those other areas, at some point there's something that I might not have been focused on that'll like, it'll come along anyway, just because of all the other things that I'm working on.
Exactly. Dude. I feel the same way about the show. Like I will I will take all the time I have to, it doesn't matter. I will work around people's schedules, but when it comes to the editing or when it comes to like posts and stuff for reels and stuff like that, like it takes time. It's time consuming and I have a full-time job.
Yeah.
So, but I care about this so much and I want it. I want every episode to be better than the last.
Yeah. When you love it and it's a passion. Yeah. It sounds so fucking cheesy and I hate like using cheesy lines, but it's like when you love it, it's not really work.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'll see guys.
Hold on. Oh, you're good.
I'll see guys here that are like, and I get it. Like I've had bad days too, but I have less bad days. Because I'll see guys that are like struggling. They're like, oh, fuck it. Today sucks. And I'm like, man, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You're like, imagine having like a spade shovel and you got to fucking dig a 3-foot hole, 160 feet long. And you got till like 7 a.m. or from 7 a.m. to like 8 p.m. That's hard work.
Yeah.
Roofing, cement work. I've done all that. Just like, it's a cakewalk. But I also say that to like keep myself in check.
Yeah.
You know, I'm walking around with a broke rib right now.
Yeah, you gotta stay humble. Hey, yeah, you're still
fucking
here.
This shit's rough. I'm like, oh man, I'm not fucking 20 anymore.
Yeah.
But you're it's still like, here, though. Yeah. It is what it is. I'm just like trying to say it to like church myself up a little bit. I'm like, all right, now.
Oh, no, for sure, man. I'm like, but like, kudos to you for like, even like, like you're still here. You're still doing your job. You're doing your thing. And like, you know, but that's your work ethic, though.
Keep the fight going. Yeah. If I stop, if I get stagnant, then it's just like, I get lost. I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm always listening. I'm always reading. I'm always like watching something. Yeah. So I'd like dyslexia where I'm like, I gotta like keep.
Yeah. I get it. One thing I was up to ask too is, what's your worst brew day?
So I wouldn't say worst because it was what I felt like was the worst.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being really a great moment. And I've said this before to other people. So I just got this job at Southern Prohibition, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And I'd been in the industry, like real deal, for probably a year and some change, and maybe like almost 2 years at this point, brewing kind of solo, where my boss was like, at the end of the day, he would leave and like, hey, you've got just this left to do, and then you're pretty much good.
Yeah.
And we were brewing a classic beers that they brew, and I didn't add the hops in the whirlpool.
Oh shit.
I don't know if I saw it. It was just with the way my brain was. I was trying like super hyper focused on everything else.
Yeah.
That I didn't fucking add the hops into the whirlpool. And so like I get done knocking it out into the fermenter, get everything kind of piped back in to where I'm like going to start my CIP on my KO line. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, all right, start grabbing stuff, picking up. And I look and I see a bucket full of hops.
Oh shit.
I'm like, fuck. And it's no more than 6 months there. Like it might've been within the first few months. And yeah, I called my boss, and who I love, shout out to Ben, Mishibu. I called him, and we were just kind of like, this is like also in like the intermediate phase of our friendship, working co-workership. And he goes, I said, hey, I'm sorry. And he goes, are you still knocking out? Like, and I think now, yeah, I could have like re-whirlpooled a little bit, whatever, yeah. But it was done. And he goes, okay, we'll talk about it tomorrow. And then let me go. Oh, and fuck. Or might have hung up, I don't know. But I was just like, fuck.
No.
And it was almost like when your father tells you, like, I'm not mad at you, I'm just disappointed. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting. I cleaned up everything. I put those same hops back. I didn't like, somebody asked me later, like, why didn't you just throw them away? I'm like, there's no fucking way I would have done that. But so they came around and they talked about it.
But you held yourself accountable.
I just don't know another way. If I try to lie about something, I will fucking forget.
Well, I'm a shitty liar too.
I'm so bad. So it's like, I'm just going to take my lumps and get it over with.
Yeah.
And so they came, the brewmaster and the owner came through, and they like kind of made their rounds that morning and kind of walked around and were talking for several hours. And they never came up on the deck. So I'm like, oh shit. All right.
Yeah.
I'm end of the day. I'm done. And then that turned into another day, and then a week, nothing was said. And then the following week we had our monthly business meeting.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting employee of the month. And the owner said, yeah, the owner said, man, I can't pay for that kind of character.
Yeah.
And I just was like, like,
your jaw dropped.
I was so bad because I mean, like, I'm still like a year or two in from like leaving. So I wasn't leaving a shipyard. So I was like, is this still like, even probably today? No, I'm not. I got these hand tattoos now, but. Yeah. At some point, I was like, am I still like, I still have people, especially in my family, that are like, when are you going to get a real job?
Yeah.
It's like, shut the fuck up. But I was still kind of like, we had just moved to this town for like the third time in like a year. And so I was like, I don't know what to do. And then he was like, yeah, here you go. It was first employee of the month.
Yeah.
And was just like, he could have easily like
just
taken the easy route out and chose not to. And I wasn't looking for anything like that, but it was just like, it was kind of a validation moment where it was like, hey, as long as you do the right thing, even though it might suck in the immediate, it will pay off. And maybe it's not keeping that job. So anybody listening to this, if they do tell the truth and you get fired, I'm sure it's going to sound like it's like your world's ending. But I promise you, if you stick with it, if you kind of hold true to what you are, what you do, and stay in the industry, it will come back to you. I can think of two or three people right now that are like, thought their stuff was over and they just kind of kept with it. They moved, they did something else. They were passionate about their career.
Yeah.
And it's worked out for them. So like, yeah, if anything, like don't lie.
Yeah. It's a testament to you though, brother.
For me, it's always been, the beer's always been premier.
Yeah.
As long as I'm keeping the beer first, I never want to shortchange anything. Like I need you to stay a couple hours and pick up them boxes. It's like, I mean, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But if everybody's going out of town, I might do that tomorrow. I'm sorry. Yeah. But as long as it's like any process of the beer or anything like that, as long as I've always put the beer first, I've never failed.
Yeah.
So That's just like my one rule. It's like, don't shortchange the beer.
Work your ass off.
Everybody else will fucking be fall honest. In line. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Honestly, what more can you ask for an employee? Like you said, that like sometimes it'll bite you in the ass, but at least, hey,
you got a clear conscience. Yeah. Like, man, how often? Like, I've never fucked anybody over. I've only quit one job in my life, and we've kind of reconciled since then. But I would have like told on myself how shitty of that is, but I would have told on myself. I would have just been like, they're like sitting in the tap room, they're drinking it. It's like, this tastes a little different. It's like, I'm sorry, I fucked up. I didn't know what to fucking. And like, because I feel like anybody, they're good. They know. And I'm just like telling that in my brain the whole time. So I'm just like, yeah, fuck all this. I'm just going to tell you right now. I fucked up. My bad.
Oh, it happens, right? I mean, shit, life happens.
It does happen.
We wanted to talk about the MJF, the scholarship. Could you tell us about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. MJF, the Michael Jackson Foundation. They're trying to bring awareness, but also help for inclusivity in the brewing industry for blacks, indigenous, and people of color, other people of color.
Yeah.
And I think this is the fourth year, maybe the fifth year. And yeah, I just got the most recent round of scholarships. And yeah, incredibly humbled, honored, and can't wait, like excited. Somebody that like come from the South, didn't have any formal training, high school dropout. You know, a lot of the places that I kind of like dreamed about working, always required some kind of a degree. And I still have like goals and aspirations. I want to work abroad one day.
Yeah.
I have like a hankering to brew in Vietnam or Cambodia or somewhere like that, where it's like a slower pace of life.
How awesome would that be, man?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Brew some shitty lagers all day, have some great fucking food, and ride a water buffalo to work. That'd be the fucking tits.
That's the dream.
Yeah. So something like that. And I'm sure I could find a way to do it with like where I'm at now, but
I mean, right, finding a water buffalo out here might be a little tough.
No, I'm saying, no, I'm just saying dashing, like I'm still dashing. Making a way out there, but yeah, sure. Yeah. I know a couple people. I think, I just think it would just kind of make everything easier, but also like, it's only going to make me better as a brewer if I, you know, have some kind of form of training, which I would have never been able to afford. And solely because of the MJF, I'm getting a chance to go to school now. And
that's awesome, brother.
Incredibly thankful, humbled that they've even considered me. But also, like, yeah, like, you think I was a problem before. Wait till you fucking put me in the class. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. How cool is that, though, man?
It's like, so cool. It's so cool. Like, I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she was like, she was getting teary. She was like, because I told her when I got it, I was like, hey, like, I was kind of emotional and was like, hey, like, I don't want you to think that, like, your sacrifice, like your brother and your sister's sacrifice, is not lost on me. Like the things that we've kind of gone through, had to move multiple times.
Oh, for sure.
She's like super proud. I'm super proud of you. And I'm like, yeah, but like you guys sacrificed too in order for me to like kind of make this happen. And that's not lost on me. And she's like, I wouldn't want it any other way. She's like, if you were still doing that, whatever before, like this is what you were meant to do. And
she's still out in Mississippi, right?
No, she's living in New Orleans.
Oh, she's
living. Yeah, my baby girl's living in New Orleans. She's living with my sister.
I remember, like, because I think a couple times when we've driven somewhere together and you've talked to her, and you can just sense that, you know, that love and respect that you guys have.
Yeah.
And, like, that's cool, man. Like, you know, and you can tell, like, she's happy for you and, and you're happy for her.
Yeah.
Like, you're somebody, you know, a couple thousand miles away, but that love reaches, man.
Yeah, love knows no bounds. Yeah. Her and her sister, and now my grandbaby, those are my hearts. My son will always be my best friend, but man, it's something about your girls, man.
Yeah.
I love my son, but girls are the dopest thing I ever did in life.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
It was, being a dad, the best thing. Girls are dope. Girls are super dope.
And then closing down Brewery X with me.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm not against a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, again, it's a good time. Just because I'm a dad or a grandpa, you don't, think I can throw down? Like, no, oh, I know shit. You can. I'm about to blow y'all's minds. It's 2024.
Yeah. Well, do you have any fun stories from, like, Mississippi? Brewing out in Mississippi?
Fun stories brewing out in Mississippi.
Or just any, because I also know that we've talked about Brad a little bit.
Yeah, so that was best pre... That's pre-brewing. That was probably my rodeo days. Yeah.
The Three Doors
Down. Guys from Three Doors Down. Yeah. We used to kind of run in similar circles. Yeah. I didn't know them directly, but I knew people that knew them. And so like we would show up at same places sometimes and yeah, they were good times. I had more fun with their bassist, their former bassist who I will not name, who's in prison.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, yeah. I think again, cheesy line, famous people are just like us.
Yeah.
They don't want to be treated famous. But yeah, being from South Mississippi, you kind of run in the same circles, especially when you're kind of like doing wild shit. You know, people gravitate towards each other.
Yep.
And in the rodeo circuit, you know.
Gets a little wild.
Yeah, you walk into a place, you know, big swinging dick, and everybody's like, oh, who's that
there
guy?
It is.
So, yeah, no, you kind of gravitate the same people. And oh, yeah. We ran in similar circles. Yeah, those are good dudes.
Oh, yeah.
I see they're like touring again with Creed. Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm so fucking excited that they're touring with Creed.
Man, I keep trying to like squeeze it in on the playlist in the back, and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like,
yeah, how dare you guys? I think it's the end of August. I'm going to a show. It's actually not that, like, the tickets weren't that bad. But yeah, it's Creed is having a show at Glen Helen. I was like, I'm there, bro.
I'm not from here. So what is Glen Helen?
It's like right, like going towards like Victorville. Like if you were on the way to Vegas from here, you would have to pass Glen Helen to get there. But it's about from here. It's maybe if there's no traffic, but California, there's always traffic. So,
did you get tickets?
Yeah. Oh, well, me and my buddy already bought tickets.
How many seats is that place?
It's a so they have like the big field, but then they also have like the seats. I'm getting seats. Yeah.
That's big
field. Because I was like, I'm gonna lose my shit. You know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be singing. You know, Can You Take Me Higher all day. So.
Can we get a little bit louder? Can we get like a...
Oh, I don't even think my voice is...
Can we get like a chorus and a... No, I'm just kidding.
I might get a cease and desist. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, can you take me lower?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was really... I'll edit that out. Let me put... I'm going to hit... No. 54 minutes. Okay. One more thing. Oh, fuck. It was there and it was gone.
Shout out to Brewery X.
Shout out to Brewery X. Get me there. This is my husband, Gregory. I can't even do that from Talladega Nights.
Oh, that wow.
But I could. I had one more question, but I can't remember what it was.
We'll take a break. Give it up.
No, I remember it now. So, last question of the night. If you were going to have a beer, would you rather have it with a pizza, tacos, a burger, or wings?
I mean, so the... I don't know.
It's a loaded question.
Sure. It's like, how would you rather $1 million? Would you rather $100 bills, 50s, 20s, 10s, 5s?
I prefer small bills.
I don't give a fuck. Give me fucking cash, dog. Give me cash. I'll fucking take pennies if you don't fucking whatever. I'm not really picky. I think there's a beer for everyone, even the people that don't drink beer, but I think there's also a pairing that goes with everything.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm sure that goes the same for wine and whiskey and whatever.
Yeah.
And shout out to those people in their right minds. But
yeah.
I like, if I'm like my preferred 3 years into California, if I'm getting a beer, like I want tacos, dog.
Oh, yeah.
I like wings too. I like a burger. Smash burgers are fucking
fire.
Bangarang out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not really a wrong way to go. There's definitely like, specific instances where like, oh, something's going on here. They might use a different cheese or this doesn't really work well. They might use a different spice, whatever.
Yeah.
But like for the most part, especially like IPAs, anything with spice goes really well with IPAs.
Oh yeah.
Wings, the hotter the better.
Oh yeah.
Good cold beer and burger, all the above. I feel like I'm like,
and it's, like, it's a tough question.
It's not really tough. It's just like,
because they're all great.
I'm not really picky.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not that guy that's like, I will only drink that beer in a glass. It's like,
yeah.
come on.
Well, they asked us earlier, like, yeah. You want this in a glass or anything?
Like, yeah, like, I'm not like, sure if you like, if it's that kind of event, if we're pouring those kind of beers and we're like singular, like, oh man, it's a 20 year variant. I'm like, sure, I want it in this, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not like, if, what's it going to be?
Yeah.
Just throw this away. I could put it in a recycling bin and save more trees than somebody taking an hour to clean a bunch of glasses.
I just thought of one more question, and I promise this is the last one. What, like, where do you see the industry going? Or maybe, like, well, what a better question. What do you think the next trend is?
Ooh, yeah, I think about that a lot, probably a lot more than others. But also, I don't know. Probably everybody thinks about it the same way. But yeah. I don't know. I do know that, like, trends, industries, like, sway back and forth.
Oh, of course. It's, there's like, an ebb and flow. Yeah.
So when there's, like, a peak, I mean, it's just wait. It's coming back.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I know that, like, a couple years ago, you know, seltzers were kind of like making the hit on the scene. Yeah. And it was like, man, they're saying within a few years, they're going to be like 50% of the market. It's like, well, I think they're like almost double that now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, how many times have we like seen something where it's like a new thing that we didn't even know about before? And then, like, dude, there'll be something that like 10 years from now, we'll be like, we wouldn't have never saw it.
They're doing
farmhouse seltzers now.
Jeez.
They're like aging them in barrels.
I've even seen some of like where they're doing like, well, they're calling them craft cocktails, where they're like, I know at Native Son, what they're doing is like they're taking like their, you know, plain Jane seltzer with no flavor to it, sending it to places, and then they're crafting cocktails with that base seltzer and doing that. So I feel like that could be maybe one of the things that happens, because then you can almost make slushies out of that.
Sure.
You could do like a, you know, like a craft cocktail or anything.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't want to forget like the non-alcoholics.
Any beers have gotten a lot bigger too.
Yeah. I do a dry month. This year was 14. I did it for February.
Yeah.
This is my first time doing it in February. I was kind of excited because back home you can't do it.
Yeah.
That's Mardi Gras season. And I'm never going to fucking not drink for Mardi Gras.
Yeah, of course.
So I got to do it for February, but it was like, yeah, eventually this is going to be like become like a super big thing. Like everybody's doing these, you know, obviously Athletic in San Diego. Bravis in Anaheim. A lot of places are either doing hop teas or non-alcoholic versions of things. It's going to be inevitable where people are kind of wanting to do something where they still want to come out and hang out and have a good time, but also either not drink or only have a couple beers and still be able to kind of maintain.
For sure.
And that like physical, like, oh, that's something, you know, whatever. Like, how many times have you had, like, 3 or 4 beers, and then, like, hey, man, do you remember that last beer of the night? It tastes like dog shit, and you're like, I ain't fucking tell.
You sound like jizz right now.
Yeah, right? So it's like, you don't really know, so it's like, it doesn't even matter. Like, I'm not saying, like, these beers are trash, but you definitely can tell that you're missing that part.
Yeah.
And some of them do it better than others. Like, when I do my dry month, I always say, like, before, especially in Mississippi, there wasn't many options. So like the best I could do was like a Heineken 0.0. And on like day 17 of nothing, that Heineken 0.0 is the best fucking beer you've had in your life.
Yeah.
Then I move out here and then I can go places like BevMo or wherever the fuck. And you can have all these different options.
Yeah.
Oh man. Sam Adams has, you know, haze beers. Fuck. What else have I had? Athletic. All Athletic beers are fucking really great.
But it's almost like being drunk at the end of the night and you're like, this is the best taco I've ever had.
Yeah. So it's like, So you can, it's like a, you can kind of like twofer it. So it's like, you can either show up and not drink and have something to drink and you're not out of place, but also like, hey, like there's some moderation.
Yeah.
Where you're like, all right, I'm going to go out with the fellas, but I'm only going to have 11 beers. And then the rest of the night, I'm going to fucking just do these. And then that's it.
Yeah.
So I think there's, it's increasingly becoming a thing where, everybody wants to go out and hang out with the boys, but not everybody could go out the next go to work the next morning.
Exactly.
And this is like kind of like alleviating some of that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I can throw back 5 or 6 of these.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine.
Sorry. I know I said the last question was the last question.
Just
I said,
keep talking, homie.
One more. Being like, you know, obviously being from Mississippi, but being a always going to Mardi Gras and all that stuff. If there was something that were like, if somebody had to go to this specific place, whether it's in Mississippi or in New Orleans, for Mardi Gras, or just to go
for Mardi Gras?
That doesn't have to be for Mardi Gras, but just anything you can think of in either of those two states. So like, if you're going to a place that's maybe not as well known, and you're flying out there in a couple of weeks, and you're like, oh, this is where you got to go.
Yeah, so if you're going to New Orleans, you got to go. Everybody goes to Bourbon, and I'm never going to stop somebody from going to Bourbon, but don't go there. Go to Frenchman Street. Go to Cochon, the butcher. Okay. Go to the, is it the turkey? Something in the turkey. Fuck, I'm forgetting the name of it. I'm sorry, guys. I love you. Breweries, go to Urban South. Go to Courtyard Brewing for sure. Shout out to Scott. Scott's actually a San Diego guy.
Nice.
He would be on the show. Dude. Yeah, he's the tits. Brew Caray. There's so many great beers in New Orleans. If you're in Mississippi, if you're anywhere like taking a time, I don't know, some people are blues enthusiasts driving through. Must hits are Fertile Ground in Jackson, Mississippi. Southern Prohibition in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Fly Llama Brewing Company in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Okay.
And yeah, I'll maybe go by Scott's place. There's a place. He has a place in Ocean Springs. I can't remember the name.
If you think about it later, I could throw it in the intro when this episode
comes. Maybe. Hops and Growlers. Jesus. I'm sorry, Scott. I fucked that up. I love you so much.
You didn't mean it, Scott.
Hops and Growlers in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. He's probably one of the best brewers in the state, and he's just killing beers. It's a old guy that loves people that love beer, and that's awesome. I love him too.
Well, man, I appreciate you doing that, and I appreciate you being on the show. I mean,
yeah, no problem.
You're my bud.
Obviously. Love you, dog.
I love you, dog.
Love you, dog.
But yeah, thanks again. And if you're in the SoCal area, or even if you're not in the SoCal area, and you're going to Disneyland, or you're coming around, was it Glassell and La Palma?
Yeah, Glassell and La Palma, East La Palma. Yeah, 3191 East La Palma. Yeah.
They have amazing pizza.
Good burgers. Burgers are fucking stellar.
Yeah.
Really great food, awesome beers. And there's a lot of fucking room.
Yeah.
You even have a penalty box for rent out for all your private parties.
Yeah. And if you happen to see Greg in the tap room, give him a big old grizzly bear hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks again, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Cheers, Tap Fam.
See you guys.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Greg. Like I said, I had a blast talking to him. And like I said, him being my buddy just made it even better. And I remembered next week's episode is the Frogtown episode with Josh and Jonathan. That one should be a good one. Like I said, then the week after is Geeks. Then we should be the Geeks and Campsite, and then Momentum, and then the Sean Ely episode, and then we have, there's something else, I just made, Asylum. So it should be good. So I'm going to be loaded up for episodes for a while, but I'm really excited for Campsite tomorrow too. That should be a really fun one. Just want you guys all to know, I really appreciate you guys downloading the episodes each week, and, even for the, for people that listen to their own breweries, or people that are home brewers, or people that not even beer people, people that just, love hearing inspiring stories, and that, people not willing to give up on their dream. So like I said, I hope you guys really, enjoy this. I mean, I always want to put out something quality for you. I appreciate it. And also for any brewers out there, just one more time, if you're looking to start a trivia night at your brewery, maybe for one of the slow days during the week, go to geekswhodrink.com/taproom, enter promo code taproom. That's geekswhodrink.com/taproom, promo code taproom, and you'll get your first quiz night free. And honestly, it was really fun because when I talked to Brian the other day, he quizzed me. I think I did okay. There was a few that I did miss, but it was really fun. But all right, Tap Fam, I got a bunch of shit I got to do and a bunch of beers I got to drink. What else am I going to do on a Saturday? All right. Cheers, Tap Fam. Take care. Oh, yeah. And I wanted to say, and if you're betting this weekend, if you're in a state where I'm doing finger quotes, where it's legal to gamble, to take the over, baby.